you don't like abortion, don't have one.
The only thing that can be said to be objective truth is that there is no objective truth.
It does come out in one piece. It comes out in one piece.
I would argue that we certainly are not all created equal.
And now, here's Mark.
That's right, your radio activist coming to you live here on Created Equal's Facebook page and several other media platforms. Welcome, all you pro-life activists across America tuning in today. We've got a hot program for you today. We've got a couple things going on. The first one is I'm going to have an exclusive interview with our good friend, Father Stephen M. Barrado, better known as the Protest Priest. He's going to be coming to us live talking about the Red Rose Rescue. And then also, we're going to be discussing something you might not have heard about, and that is the Personhood Proclamation, an executive order that some of us are attempting to get Donald Trump to sign on the anniversary of Roe versus Wade. So thanks for joining in. Strap in for a good half hour, 45 minutes of activist radio here on the Mark Harrington Show. So to set the stage here real quick, and then we'll go to the protest priest, Father M. Barrado. As you all know, if you've been watching us on Facebook, I've been involved with the Red Rose Rescues. The first one started and happened on September 15. The second one just last weekend on Saturday, December 2nd. They happened in three cities simultaneously. I was up in Detroit with my good friend Monica Miller at Western Women's Center in West Bloomfield. The other was Women's Health. That's in Alexandria. And Capital Women's Services, that was in Washington, D.C. And that's where Father M. Barrado was arrested. And we're going to get to him in a second. But before we do, I want to set the stage here. This is a vision that Father M. Barrado and others, including my good friend Dr. Monica Miller, has had for years. And that here's how it works. Going inside the abortion mills and counseling and praying in solidarity with the preborn and refusing to leave if asked to, and then risking arrest. That's basically how this works. And the idea is to save babies, to rescue children, right? And make a profound and courageous stand for the preborn. Let me read to you, if you will, what's contained in the card that's given to women inside these waiting rooms, along with the Red Rose. This is what it says. This is the message of the Red Rose Rescue. You were made to love and be loved. Your goodness is greater than the difficulties of your situation. Circumstances in life change. A new life, however tiny, brings the promise of unrepeatable joy. That's what the card says. Now, Monica Miller makes an argument for the rescue here. And let me read this, and then we'll go to Father M. Barrado, the protest priest, here in a minute. The Red Rose Rescue is an act of charity for women who feel, for whatever reason, they must have their innocent preborn children killed. Those who took part were willing to embrace risks for these women and their babies. We'll go into the very places the unborn are put to death and extend help to the mothers. Should this help be refused, we will not leave the abortion center, but remain in solidarity with the helpless victims oppressed by the injustice of abortion. St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta said that her work was to go into the dark holes of the poor, and that is why these rescuers feel compelled to go in the dark places of in this case, the darkest place in America, which are the abortion centers, where the killing of unborn children goes unabated every single day in America. So that is the Red Rose Rescue. So let's quickly, we're going to go to Father M. Barrado. I know he's busy today, the protest piece. Father M. Barrado, thanks for being on the program. Let's go ahead and bring him up.
Good to be with you, Mark.
Good to have you, Father. I know you're busy. Obviously, it looks like you're driving.
I'm actually walking through the streets of Albuquerque, New Mexico right now.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you taking the time to be on the program, Father M. Barrado. If you would, here's what I want to do. I want this to be a rapid fire kind of deal, where there's been a lot of talk about the rescues, the Red Rose rescues and all this stuff. I don't want to take a whole lot of time making a defense for it because I tell you what, I don't think it needs defended, but there are some out there that might have questions about it. But I do want to take a moment and just ask you, this last Saturday, give us the inside picture of what happened in Washington, D.C. with you when you got arrested this last Saturday as part of the Red Rose Rescue.
Lay down a little background. I organized actually both rescues, the one in Alexandria, Virginia, and also the one in D.C. We sent three people into Alexandria, three people had not been there in September, where we got arrested, six of us got arrested in September. So we sent three new people into Alexandria, and then the three of us that got arrested in Alexandria, we went into the D.C. Stephen Brigham's, what we believe is an unlicensed abortion facility in Washington, D.C. This guy's lost his license, just medicine in six states. He's a gosnell in the waiting. So we went into his abortion facility. Interestingly enough, first thing in the morning, a little bit after 9, and the place was closed. So we called up the answering service and found out it didn't open up till 2. We don't know if they switched their hours, which abortion facilities often do. They switch hours to throw the pro-lifers off. But, I mean, we did what any rescue would do. We went back at 2 o'clock. So at 2 o'clock, we went back. We walked in. Went up into a full waiting room, counseling the women there. They immediately moved the women out of the waiting room to a back office. And then we went to the hallway waiting and people getting off the elevator. And about 10 minutes later, we went back into the waiting room. The waiting room was filled again. We started counseling the women again. And that's when the police arrived. Now, interestingly enough, and you can't make this stuff up, Mark. They clean out the waiting room, and then they bring us into the hallway. And for about a half hour, they're convincing us to leave. And, of course, we're not going to leave. We told them we're not going to leave. Well, if you arrest us, you arrest us. That's fine. We're not leaving. I'm talking to the cops. The two women, Julia and Joan, are counseling the women, getting off the elevator, handing out the red roses. After about a half hour, another cop shows up and says, I just talked to the precinct commander, Father, and here's the deal. You can stay out here in the hallway, giving out roses, counseling the women in the hallway, getting off the elevator, but you can't go into the waiting room. I mean, I'm standing there dumbfounded. I said, Lord, this is too cool. Now, of course, one of the objections to Red Rose Rescues by some in the movement is that it'll create buffer zones for the sidewalks. Well, here's an instance where they actually extended the sidewalk into the building, into the abortion facility. So, and the cops even explained it, right? You have to treat the hallway as you would the sidewalk outside. You can't block entrances. You can't block the obstruct the women. And we did this for about an hour and a half. We're in the hallway. They did say when they left that if the building manager comes and asks you to leave, you have to leave. So after an hour and a half, building manager came, asked us to leave. We refused to leave. Another group of cops came. And then that's when they locked us up. Now, a couple of things. Not only did a couple of women, actually several women left, but we think a couple of abortion-minded women left. We know for sure, all right, that a woman who was pregnant left, and we think that she saved her baby. But there was two things. A maintenance man during the rescue said that he wasn't aware that they were doing abortions there and that he was going to quit the job. And then this doctor, when we first started sidewalk counseling in the hallways, he's screaming at us. He's a doctor in another office there, screaming at us that he wants us out. He told the first group of cops, get them out. They're trespassing. Get rid of them. And later on, when the second group of cops came, he came out. He didn't know that there was an abortion mill in the building. He said, I'm pro-life, and I want that abortion mill closed up. And he actually started yelling at the business, the building manager, all right, to get rid of the abortionist, and now he shook my hand. He was on our side. So those are some of the interesting things that happened in the 3 hours. 3 hours.
3 hours.
Inside that abortion facility.
That's awesome. My guest is Father Imbarato, Father Stephen Imbarato, the protest priest that's been involved in these Red Rose rescues, been involved in organizing them, and was arrested on December 2nd. Father Imbarato, what I want to do, I want to open it up to our Facebook Live friends here. If you want to make a comment or ask Father Imbarato a question, you can go on Created Equals Facebook page and ask, and we'll ask him directly here live on the social media. So go ahead and do that if you're interested. But Father Imbarato, what I want to do here, if you would, Mr. Producer, put up this this tweet from a national pro-life leader. Her name will go unmentioned, but I want to read this to you, Father Imbarato, and just kind of get your feedback on a couple of issues. One thing she does here very well is kind of summarize some of the objections that are voiced out there amongst those in our movement. Let me read this to you, if you would, and then we'll have you respond. This is from the tweet, or this is from the Facebook post. I honestly can't believe so many honorable pro-lifers are supporting illegal activity of those involved in the latest rescue movement. Do you not see that this is moving us backwards? Don't you know, or do you know, or not understand that these illegal acts will now cause increase in buffer zones so that we won't be able to effectively reach out to women? Do you not understand the long game here? Rescue movements are outdated and do much more harm than good. And the misrepresentation of what they are doing is bizarre. They're not peacefully praying. They're trespassing. They're breaking the law. They're hoping to get arrested. And guess what? Babies aren't being saved. They simply move these women to a different waiting area and continue the abortions. This is hurting our movement. And she goes on and on and on. Let me just dissect this, Father Imbarato, if you would. Would you deal with the issue of this being illegal activity? Deal with that, would you, for a moment?
All right, first, we need to understand that what's going on in this country is state-sanctioned preborn child killing. It's state-sanctioned, right? So we already know that since the Trump administration has taken power, that the Health and Human Services Department has declared that their mission is going to be predicated on the fact that human life begins at conception. We see in the tax reform bill they are extending tax credits to the womb because life begins at conception. You know and I know that there's indisputable science that life begins at conception. You know and I know, everybody knows, that there's abundant case law that underscores the fact that life begins at conception. These are human persons. There's no denying it. So any law that is basically in place to protect those who would take the life of human babies, innocent human babies, is an immoral law. It's an illegal law. It's not a law at all. All right. St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Augustine, Martin Luther King, any number of people will you can go back and see what they say about these things. So we didn't violate any laws because these laws, if indeed they are laws, are unjust laws. They're immoral laws. So that doesn't hold water in terms of what happened inside of these facilities. Well, we don't know for sure where the babies were saved, but surely we've had many women walk out of these facilities while we were there, and many, many people telling us how they were affected by our peaceful and prayerful witness. So for somebody from the outside to make these comments, I think it's really disingenuous, and you have to wonder what their motivation is to make these comments. Is it a protection of their own ministry, a protection of their own livelihood? What is their purpose in the pro-life movement? Is it to save babies and to decisively but peacefully end preborn child killing? Those are the questions that I would have.
My guest is Father Stephen Imbarato, the protest priest, and we have a couple of comments on Facebook right now. Father, folks want to know how to get a hold of you. Obviously, this has become a national story. It's gaining interest, a little bit of momentum. There may be those who want to be involved in the Red Rose Rescues. How do they get a hold of you the easiest?
On social media, just do searches on social media for Protest Priest. They'll go to my public page, probably find me on my private page, Instagram, Twitter, and then also protestchildkilling.com, protestchildkilling.com. They can register and they can keep up with what we're doing.
All right. My guest again is Father Imbarato. Folks, if you want to comment or ask a question for the protest priest, you can do that on our Created Equal Facebook page. Again, let me refer back to this this Facebook post here. By the way, Father Imbarato, I mean, I obviously agree with you here. I mean, if you just read the Bible, many cases in which God, you know, followers of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament and New defied the law when man's law confronted God's law. And we always defer to God's law. And we see that with the Egyptian midwives. We see that with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We see that with the apostles who were told not to preach the gospel. And they said, we must obey God rather than man. We see that historically with the abolitionists. You know, the hiding place with Corrie Ten Boom and the Holocaust and all that. And, of course, the civil rights movement. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said this. A just law is a man-made code that squares with the moral law of God. An unjust law is a code that is out of harmony with the moral law. And he said it's not only our responsibility to obey just law, it's also our responsibility and duty to disobey unjust law. There's nothing. Listen, this is a death camp, folks. This is like Auschwitz. Should European Germans have recognized the trespass boundary, the boundaries of private property, when it came to a death camp? I mean, should they have said, oh no, well, we can't go in there because that's trespassing? I mean, it's absurd. These laws are arbitrarily set up to protect the baby killing. And we're going to respect those, please. I mean, we're going to play by the rules of the enemy, by the rules of our adversary, and say that we're going to limit ourselves to some, you know, piece of property they claim so that they can kill children. I mean, it makes absolutely no sense. But if you would, Father Imbarato, once again, let me deal with this question that rescues or civil disobedience, if you want to call it, is outdated, as this person posted on Facebook. How do you respond to that? You think people say, oh, well, we tried this. This happened in the 90s or, you know, 80s and 90s. We tried this. It didn't work. Let's move on to more effective things.
Well, I really think that the rescue movement had the right idea, direct intervention to save babies' lives.
Yeah.
But maybe because of the fact that they were blocking abortion facilities, the federal government was able to put in place laws that basically made it, you know, not reasonable or feasible to do because of the penalties that are involved. But, you know, I was mentored by, and I know you were too, Greg Cunningham. And he said that, you know, this battle between good and evil, between the culture of life and the culture of death, has to be taken to the town square, marketplace, Main Street America. And I really think that the common areas of these abortion mills, which in my mind waiting rooms are part of that Main Street America marketplace. And indeed, whether it be blocking intersections, whether it be doing other types of civil disobedience in the public square, Main Street America, I think there's a tradition in the United States to do that. And I really think that we need to show this government that's becoming more and more immoral and corrupt. Although, again, we may have a kind of like a stay of execution under Trump, but this should embolden us. It should embolden us now that we're recognizing that these are truly babies in the womb, human persons, to do what's necessary to say, hey, look, we're not taking this anymore. We've taken this for 45 years. We have dealt with this government on their terms for 45 years. That's about time. It's about time that we say, you know what, enough. It's been long enough. The killing's gone on long enough. We're going to put a stop to it. And so I think that this is really the type of activism. The question I always ask everybody is, what is the minimally proportional response to the mass murder of the most innocent? What is the minimally proportional response? Is it what we've been doing? I think the rescues of the late 80s and early 90s was a minimally proportional response. I think the Red Rose rescues are minimally proportional response. The key word being minimal. Yeah. I think it's not going to come to an end until there's thousands of people locked up. We clog up the courts. We clog up the jails, all right, with conscientious objecting pro-lifers who are saying, hey, no more. No more bloodshed.
My guest is Father Stephen Imbarato, the protest priest. We're talking about the Red Rose rescues that have taken place across America last Saturday, December 2nd, in three cities, resulting in the arrest of 11 pro-life activists, including the protest priest, who, by the way, was inside a waiting room for 3 hours, folks. I mean, you don't get that kind of captive audience on a sidewalk. One final thing I want you to deal with as far as one of the objections that's referenced in this Facebook post, and then I want to move on to something I think is equally or more important, that is the personhood proclamation, if you will. When people say that these rescues, make us look like extremists, like zealots, and it sets back, think about that, it sets back our movement. It does more harm than good. If you would take a second and deal with that question, if you would, please.
I don't even know how to get my mind around those types
Neither
of things.
Neither do I. but you know, just for the sake of argument, let's go ahead.
if these abortions were being done in the open, right? In the open, you're walking down the street and you go to an open garage and there's some guy killing babies in the open garage. I mean, are you going to not go on the property? Are you going to wait for the police to show up? Or are you going to go in there and stop the killing of babies? I mean, you know, and I'm sorry, you know, you said you didn't want to name names. You know, I know who this person is, and I'm sorry, but these comments have to come from somebody who maybe still has one foot in their past, still holding on to their past. Maybe not completely healed, all right? Maybe needs more healing. Look at Mark, all right? My unwillingness to stand up for my Eve decades ago, all right, cost the lives of two babies, all right? And I'm sorry. I told Jesus, and I promised those two babies, and I promised my Eve that the day comes, and I'm given the opportunity to stand up and save babies' lives through direct intervention, I'm going to do it. Monica gave me that opportunity. All right, God has given me that opportunity, and I'm not going to be a coward anymore. But I will say this. I will say this, not to sound holier than thou, because I am a coward. All right, I am very, very sad. Very sad that because for decades, thousands of babies have died, and I finally took so long to do so little to save these babies' lives. So I just don't see how this is setting us back. I think it's moving us forward. I would say right now, the Red Rose Rescue and activists like you and me and Jeff White and Monica Miller, we are the tip of the spear, right? We are the front of the battle line, all right? And we need to continue pushing this down the road, this issue down the road, all right, until indeed preborn child killing comes to an end. And the next topic we're going to discuss, all right, is something that I believe is going to bring it to an end in a year to 2 years tops.
My guest again is Father Stephen Imbarato with the protest priest. And folks, as you're commenting on my Facebook page here, we have one from Joni, I believe it is. God bless you, Red Rose Rescuers. All pro-life folks need to stand together to save babies. I'm with you, Mark. I'm with you, Father Imbarato. So we're getting a lot of support there. Let me address that for a second. You know, putting our movement back. You know, yes, we've made some progress, but I don't know about you. 45 years, it's still legal to kill babies in America,
and
marginally, we've made some marginal success and incremental progress, but we're still killing almost 1 million babies a year. I don't know what we'd be hurting, which could be worse than what is already happening. I mean.
Right.
Please. I'm willing to try virtually anything that's peaceful, prayerful, and legal for the expense to save lives and move the ball down. We need to take some major risks here, or else we run the risk of this continuing on for decades unabated. So I'm not sure what we're risking here. If it's our reputation, then you can have mine. I don't about that. I've already lost it, and we should not be worrying about our reputations as pro-life activists. The world is going to hate us and hate what we do. We know that because our Lord said that directly to us. And if we're looking for the favor of our opposition and those who want to kill babies and ruin our lives, then I'm sorry, that's misguided. That's misguided. This is not a PR campaign that was founded in Madison Avenue in New York City. This is a protest movement that is meant to bring about the reversal of the injustice of killing unborn babies, bottom line. And if we lose sight of that, you can have the movement. I don't care. You can have it, Mark, if that's what you want it to be. So, Father,
Mark, if you and I
hear a word on that, you can, but I'd like to move on.
You and I both know, Mark, I've been doing full-time pro-life activism for only 2.5 years, but, you know, like you, I've been doing this for decades. And one of the things that I've been seeing in the last 2 years is that we are not, as a movement, we are not, as a pro-life leadership, even discussing decisive strategies to end preborn child killing. Decisive strategies, all right? We're not even having this discussion. Decisive strategies, like, for instance, you suggested a national tax strike, a tax resistance. I've talked about sustained national protest, which you do better than anyone, I think, not nationally, but regionally. The potential of a national strike if it was necessary, if we need to get to that point. Of course, if Hillary was president, we'd be talking about that. And then, of course, a decisive legislation, not the type of legislation we're putting forth, but stuff like Life Begins at Conception Acts, heartbeat bills, things like that. But we're not even having that discussion. So one of the things we need to do is push that envelope within the movement.
Amen. And let's talk about that, Father Imbarato. Again, my guest, the protest priest, Father Stephen Imbarato, coming to us live, talking about the Red Rose Rescues and the successes so far of that. But I'd like to move on. Before we do, I want to read a comment on Facebook. Here's one. Why lots of people are silent on the evil abortion? Because they are on moral and spiritual sedation by relativism. Isn't that true? Even in the church, I'm afraid that's. And then here's another comment: let them hate us.
That's right.
That's one of the comments. So, Father Imbarato, if we would, I want to switch gears here. Even though these things are linked, okay, these two things: Red Rose Rescues, protests, this kind of thing, and this personhood proclamation. You have been you actually came up with the idea. Correct me if I'm wrong.
God did, of
the personhood proclamation that you're asking President Trump to sign as part of the anniversary of the 30th year of the Reagan proclamation on human life. If you would, this may be new to some of our viewers and listeners. Please share with us what you've got in mind here and why you think it's time for this to happen.
All right, so if you go to protestchildkilling.com, we just put up on the page everything you need to know about this, attack the president, and what it's all about. But I'm sitting in my house chapel one day, sitting there. Trump had just signed an executive order on immigration, I think the second one, which, of course, they put an injunction in place to put a stop to it. And it just came to me, all right, I, Donald Trump, through this presidential executive order, do declare constitutional personhood from the moment of fertilization based on indisputable science and abundant case law and direct all my federal agencies to act accordingly. And I'm sitting there saying, well, it's too easy. Interestingly enough, the first person that mentioned it to me, she had seen a couple of posts that I put on Facebook, was Monica Miller. The first time I talked to her about Red Rose Rescue.
Not surprised.
She said, Father, that's exactly right. It's brilliant, you know? And I said, well, it's not mine. And then so based on that little conversation with Monica, I talked to my lawyer, and he said, Father, it's exactly right. He's not adjudicating. He's not legislating. All he's doing is directing his federal agencies to act as if, all right, human life begins at conception, personhood, constitutional personhood, from the moment of fertilization. We've seen he's already implemented that in the HHS, right, in legislation, the tax reform. So we are asking, and then I presented it to Jeff White, Walter Hoy. They were both on board with it. It was Jeff that did the research to find out that, indeed, this January 14th is the 30th anniversary of Ronald Reagan's personhood proclamation. I had totally forgotten about that. We then said, well, that's providential, right? It's providential. That's a God moment, right? 5 days before the March for Life. What is the president going to do to outdo what he did last year, having the vice president, Kellyanne Conway, at the March for Life? Well, the logical thing was to issue a presidential executive order declaring personhood from the moment of fertilization on the 30th anniversary of Ronald Reagan's personhood proclamation 5 days before the March for Life. I think yesterday, him recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and moving the embassy there is another bold move that just makes me think he's going to do. We've already gotten acknowledgement from Kellyanne Conway's office that they have received all the information. Paul Teller, his liaison to conservative groups in D.C., heard the presentation the day after we met in Washington. They've confirmed that they have all the information. And I asked them, is there anything else we need to do? And they said, Father, we'll be back in touch with you when there's more to report. But indeed, they did not say anything negative. And I really think, Mark, this is going to happen. I think the only thing we need to do now is show the Trump and the administration our support, our encouragement. So you can go to protestchildkilling.com. You can tweet him at @RealDonaldTrump. You can get in touch with him through other social media platforms, emails, phone calls. It's all there, protestchildkilling.com.
My guest again, Father Stephen Imbarato, protest priest. We're talking about the Red Rose Rescues and the personhood proclamation that we are asking President Trump to sign on the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, the 45th, I think it is. I mean, I've lost track,
right,
folks. 45 years of child killing. I mean, the idea that we can do something to hurt our movement at this point, it's just absurd. We've got 45 years of babies that have been murdered, and yet we're hesitant to go into the waiting rooms of abortion mills and counsel women. I just don't get it. And I don't get this, is that this is something that has never been attempted before, and it's in part because we've not had a president that would do it. I mean, President That's Trump, right. As you well know, this guy is willing to buck the system. He's willing to stick his finger in the eye of the media and the left and the child killers. He's willing to make a legacy for himself. This is a, you know, so this is the opportunity that we have before us. And why this is growing on me, and I'll share with you, Father Imbarato, I haven't told you this, but the idea that an executive order, if you recall a while back, Trump signed an executive order with the travel ban, and it got held up in court for the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court gave it, you know, cleared it, and now it's actually in place. That's exactly what would happen. I mean, the courts happen. Are going to say, right. They're going to say this thing isn't constitutional, which is the exact thing we want to happen, and then right. It goes before exactly. The Supreme Court, and they review Roe v. Wade. We've been trying for 45 years to get the court right. To reverse Roe v. Wade by using legislation before it, and it takes forever for a piece of legislation to make it up to the court. It can take 5, 4, 5, 6 years, who knows, and then they, you know, they strike it down. No, this could go to the court immediately upon signature by Mark, President Trump.
Mark, exactly right. They've been in Roe versus Wade, they ducked the personhood issue. They've been ducking the personhood issue for 45 years. This would force them to not only revisit Roe versus Wade, but revisit Roe versus Wade on the basis of personhood. It's not right. Enough to overturn Roe versus Wade. That'll just make it a state issue. It's not enough to even make abortion illegal, because we'll still have the battle as to whether it should be legal or illegal. The only way we can change the hearts and minds of future generations is really declare or restore dignity, all right, from the moment of conception to our unborn brothers and sisters in the womb, thus rendering abortion illegal and unthinkable. And in future generations, we can then say, hey, look at human persons from the moment of fertilization, they had the dignity, they're unique, precious, and unrepeatable from the moment of conception. And then three generations down the road, of course, abortion will be something that is in has this place in history, its infamous place in history, just like slavery.
Well, that's great. That's right. And just even as you mentioned in this tax reform package, they recognize the preborn baby at fertilization for the sake of being able to, you know, on your taxes, write off your donations, if you will, or your contributions to the 529 program. It's the same idea that in the law, in this bill, they were directing the IRS to now allow individuals like myself, if I choose, to contribute to 529s in regard to my preborn baby, not right. just my born child. So it's the same virtual concept. And I think it's straight from heaven. I'm for it. I'm 100% behind it. And I think we ought to be firing all cylinders. When people say, oh, well, you know, we just need to do all the hedge trimming incremental stuff, I say, no, I'm for that stuff too, but let's right, be firing exactly. on all cylinders. Let's be going for it all to abolish abortion right. altogether. And this is just one of many tools in the toolbox, and it may be the one that could bring it down. So we're Amen. For it. Again, give us, I have a website here also, personhoodproclamation.com. Is that also something that you're directing people to, or is it your page that you'd like folks to go to? Does it let me know
well,
that.
The Personhood Proclamation page, we're still updating it. All right, I shifted okay. most of the main stuff over to protestchildkilling.com. I think that's the best place. I think it's just a lot more concise and readable at protestchildkilling.com. So go there. Hey, Mark, look it.
Is the proclamation actually there? The actual wording of the what you're asking President Trump to sign the executive order?
I have a suggested Twitter. I have hashtags. I have a draft, a very short draft that I just actually gave to the people. And then I have an excerpt from Ronald Reagan's Personhood Proclamation from 30 years ago. So it's all gotcha. There in a very concise way. All right. In any method they want to get in touch with the president. I'm running out of juice and I'm running out of time.
All right.
Childkilling.com. Hey, I love you, brother. Pray for me. I'll pray for you. Let's bring this to an end next year. Okay.
Amen. Amen. My guest again, Father Stephen Imbarato, the protest priest. Folks, go to protestchildkilling.com if you want to find out more about the Personhood Proclamation that he and other pro-life activists and groups like myself are asking President Trump to sign to force the federal or to basically direct the federal bureaucracy, his administration, to recognize the preborn at conception, and therefore, that would likely make its way up to the Supreme Court almost immediately and force the justices to revisit Roe versus Wade. I think it's time for these kinds of ideas to make their way, and I'm praying that many will come on board within our pro-life movement individually and corporately. Groups across the country will support the Personhood Proclamation. Also, folks, keep watching our Facebook page and my personal page as well, and other social media by Created Equal if you want to stay up on the Red Rose Rescues. If you're interested in participating in one of these, which there will be more to come, I can tell you that, just let us know. If you're interested, you can go on our Facebook page and message us and let us know. We'd be happy to discuss it with you. There will be more forthcoming. And if you have any further questions, feel free to go on our Facebook page and ask us any questions that you have. You can go to Create Equals Facebook page or my personal page to do so. But your radio activist is firmly behind the Red Rose Rescues. My good friends, Father Imbarato, Dr. Monica Miller, and others are beginning to see that this could be a very important tool, method, tactic, if you will, to bring a child killing to an end, to save more lives, to force the American people to confront baby killing, and hopefully lead others to do courageous actions on behalf of the babies. That's what we're hopefully inspiring as well. And to stand with the children. People forget this, and I want this to be clear. The Red Rose Rescue is not just a simple tactic to save lives. It is that. The Red Rose Rescues are not just a tactic to change hearts and minds and confront America with child killing. The Red Rose Rescues, in many respects, are our attempt as a movement, as individuals, to stand with those who are being led away to death, to rescue them, to be part and parcel with standing in solidarity with them. I often say that if we can't save them, we need to let them know, even though they may not know on this side of history, that we are standing with them and that they will not die alone, that we will not allow them to die alone. And if these babies are going to die in the abortion centers, we need to stand with them and let them know that we will not allow them to die alone, that we need to stand with them, as it says in Hebrews 13:3, that when one person suffers, we all suffer along with them. And this is one way to do that. So folks, if you want to find out more about the Red Rose Rescue, you can go to protestchildkilling.com. And also the Personhood Proclamation. It's time. We've got January 22nd coming up, 2018, which is the 30th year of the Reagan Proclamation of Life at Conception. This is a perfect time for Donald Trump to make a statement to the nation and to begin to force the end of child killing in this country. So folks, go to those two, go to the protest, childkilling.com or the Personhood Proclamation to find out more about that. And stay tuned to this channel here on Facebook and all the other social media platforms for more of your radio activist and voice of resistance. And we come to you live from the Create Equals Studios, bringing you cutting edge news from across the country on pro-life activism from Created Equal and others. Stay tuned for more shows like this. We appreciate you joining us. We'll see you next time. God bless you. God bless America. And remember, America, to bless God.
You've been listening to Mark Harrington, your radio activist. For more information on how to become a witness against the evil plague in America, call Created Equal at 614-269-7808, 614-269-7808, or go online to createdequal.net, createdequal.net. Be sure to tune to The Mark Harrington Show next time for your marching orders in the culture war.